This is the story of Sonoma Mountain. It isn't one story. It is many stories that make up the one story. The stories go on and on because the mountain itself has so many things. Rocks and animals, birds and grasses, fish, frogs, springs, creek, trees, and each thing has a story. Many of the stories connect with other stories. This makes sense because the animals and plants and all other things on the mountain connect with one another. The mountain has always been a special place for Coast Miwok people. The stories from the mountain teach important lessons, and many of the songs that Coast Miwok people have sung since the beginning of time are gifts from the mountain and come from the stories. It is said that Coyote was sitting atop Sonoma Mountain when he decided to create the world and people. But that is part of the big story of the mountain, and we are getting ahead of ourselves. The best way to hear the stories is to listen to Coyote's twin granddaughters, Answer Woman and Question Woman. Some people say they are a pair of crows that sit on a fence rail partway up the mountain, near the place folks call Gravity Hill. Other people swear Answer Woman and Question Woman are humans. These people claim to have seen the twins, two identical-looking women with long, dark hair, leaning against the same fence rail, talking. In any event, Answer Woman and Question Woman have been on Sonoma Mountain for a long time. They are the granddaughters of Coyote, after all. They know all the stories, but this is their predicament. Answer Woman knows only the answers, but she cannot think of them unless she is asked. Question Woman, on the other hand, cannot remember a single answer, not one story, and she must always ask her questions in order to hear the answer again. Yesterday, I stopped and listened to them talking. Question Woman asked Answer Woman about the smooth, round rocks in Copeland Creek. Sister, Answer Woman said, you never remember a thing, so I will tell you about those smooth, round rocks again. And that was when I overheard the following story.
Question Woman and Answer Woman. These are, as the book jacket describes, they're twin crows. They're recurring characters in the book. As you say, the Question Woman only asks questions, the Answer Woman only answers them, but I suspect that there's more to it than that. Tell me about the genesis of Question Woman and Answer Woman.
Steve, pure observation. There was a place right near, well, there is there, near Gravity Hill, the fence rail, where if you drive up and down the mountain, you will see these two crows always sitting there, and they'll fly around, they'll go down back and forth. And I saw them while I was thinking about how to put these stories together. I had originally written these stories and published them in our monthly tribal newsletter for our folks, particularly the young folks and the old folks. And then when the stories had been performed by many theater groups, Word for Word Theater, for instance, in San Francisco, and then the prospect of a book, I just was so busy, I didn't really kind of think to make a book. And then I was approached by Heyday to publish the book, or publish the stories. And I thought, well, how can I put them together? And I wanted to somehow recreate or imitate, if you will, the oral tradition. So the oral tradition of people talking back and forth, asking questions, talking back and forth, which is the way we learn from time immemorial. And so I thought of those crows. They came to me, and I thought, I'll have Question Woman and Answer Woman, and I'll have the two of them sitting there talking, and that way they will join and they will recreate a creation cycle of stories. Again, in the old days, we always told these stories in long cycles during the winter months. But how can I join them and imitate that oral tradition? Let's have two creatures, two women, two crows, whatever, however you want to see them, talking back and forth.
Now, looking at these stories, I'm thinking of folk stories. What part of literature do you place these stories in, stories that have simplicity on the outside and the deepest of lessons on the inside?
When I started writing these stories, you know, I'd seen what ethnographers had taken in books from slips of when they were doing translations and paying people 5 cents a day to tell a story. The old timers would just tell a piece of a story. It wasn't the whole story. So I kind of thought, I need to have these stand alone. So I went to Aesop's Fables. I went to a lot of the children's literature. And again, so much of that literature is the kind of thing where there are morals embedded in them, and which an adult can get, and a child or a young person could just be entertained by, but also get by osmosis. So I thought, okay, I will borrow for each of the standalone stories a Western structure with a beginning, middle, and end, and then use the two women to connect those stories. And Steve, if you're saying as much, thank you. But yes, my idea was that these would be stories that would entertain and teach the young and remind the old of deeper lessons.